One of his great achievements, one of Rembrandt's great achievements, was to portray human emotions in a much more convincing way than artists had before him, and in many ways for all time.
At ING, we believe in the power of innovation, what it can mean to people. We want to bring this innovative spirit to our sponsorship of Dutch art and culture. We knew that for this challenge, we needed to team up with experts from various fields to make this come to life.
We're using a lot of data to improve business life. But we haven't been using data that much in a way that touches the human soul. You could say that we use technology and data like Rembrandt used his paints and his brushes to create something new.
The first step was to study the works of Rembrandt in order to create an extensive database.
We gathered the data from his collection of paintings from many different sources, including 3D scans and upscale images using a deep learning algorithm.
Because a significant percentage of Rembrandt paintings were portraits, we analyzed the demography of the faces in these paintings, looking at factors like gender, age, and head direction. The data led us to the conclusion that the subject should be a portrait of a Caucasian male with facial hair between 30 and 40 years old, in dark clothing with a collar, wearing a hat, and facing to the right. From there, we started to extract features only with faces that were related to that specific profile.
And we had to create a whole painting from just data. And we used statistical analysis and various algorithms to extract the features that make Rembrandt Rembrandt.
We took parts of the face and we started to compare them. And then, based on this, we're able to create a typical Rembrandt eye or nose or mouth or ear.
After generating the features, we were focusing on the face proportions. We used an algorithm that can detect over 60 points in a painting. We were able to align the faces and to estimate the distance between the eyes, the nose, and the mouth and the ears.
A painting is not a 2D picture, it's 3D. You can see the canvas, you can see the brushes, and that's what makes the painting come alive. A hive map is essential to make the painting a painting.
We incorporated the hive map into the painting and printed on a 3D printer that uses a special paint base, UV ink. It printed many layers, one on top of the other, which resulted in the height and texture of the final painting.
Sometimes a magical moment to see a painting for the first time. Even if it's computer generated, for me it is something special. I would have believed if I saw it in a museum that it would have been a real Rembrandt, just one I haven't seen before.
It will be interesting to see Rembrandt looking at it. He will be happy that there are people trying to understand him and trying to create something out of that. So I think he will be happy.
The next Rembrandt makes you think about where innovation can take us. What's next?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage CEO Microsoft Netherlands, Edwin Kachelman.
Good morning. How cool is this? This Rembrandt story, telling the story about the power of technology, that with the latest and the newest intelligent cloud technology, we can even bring our Dutch famous artists back to life. It's an amazing story. Imagine we analyzed 350 paintings of Rembrandt. We analyzed more than 130 million of pixels. And with gathering all that data, we started to predict. We've done predictive analysis, and by that, we predicted the next painting of Rembrandt if he would be alive. Obviously, we were extremely proud of it. And we released it something like a month ago together with the ING and the Rembrandt House. And it was really great. And I cannot tell you how much attention we had. It was all over in the press. We were in every television show. The international press was totally on top of us. And we were a trending topic on the internet. So you can imagine, we were extremely proud. But why? Why is this so important? Because actually it tells a story what great things we can do with technology. And we obviously as Microsoft were extremely proud, but I think here, today also in the room, we should be extremely proud. Proud on the power of technology, that we truly can empower people to achieve things and to even have impact on total society. So those are the great stories where we see more. And you will see the Rembrandt picture. It's just outside. You can take a picture with it, send it to your home, to your wife, look intelligent. So it's really cool to do it that way. And I'm sure we will have many more of those inspiring examples. Well, welcome to the Cloud Roadshow. After Sydney, Singapore, New York, Dubai, now it's time for the Netherlands. It will be great about inspiring stories. It will be about the latest and the greatest, what we know and what we see in intelligent cloud. But it's also about learning and connecting. Learn from our great customer stories. We will have Shell on stage telling their great story. It's an opportunity for you to meet and to connect with the 12 partners who you can just meet outside this room, our key cloud partners. An opportunity for you to participate in one of the 80 breakout sessions. And also an opportunity for you at the end of today to ask every question you would like to ask in the Meet the Expert drink, the bottle, which is obviously a good moment to ask any questions. So I think a lot of opportunity for you to do a lot of great things and ready to have a lot of technology talk today. And with that, I have some good news, because on the 4th and the 5th of October, we have our Tech Days in the RAI in Amsterdam. And obviously, we are Dutch people, so we're always finding to get discounts. And today and tomorrow, you can officially register, and you can get a 50 euro discount. So make sure you get that one in. So with that, I would like to wish you a lot of luck, a lot of fun, a fruitful event. And with that, I would like to announce our first keynote speaker. Please, can I have all the attention? And can I ask you to give it up for Scott Woodgard?
All right. Thank you, Edwin. And I really appreciate everybody being here today for this event. In the 16 years that I've been at Microsoft and the 30 years since I learned to code, lots of things have changed. Technology has changed dramatically. Businesses have transformed. Businesses have gone away and been renewed. But one thing has always been true. Those of you who are curious and learn do best. And so each and every one of you is investing in your future just simply by being here today. So with that, I'm honored to showcase our newest cloud innovations, services that you've influenced. And I'm going to start right at the top by giving you a little bit of context on where Microsoft is headed. Microsoft's mission is to empower every person and organization on the planet to achieve more. And towards this mission, we are focused on three key ambitions to help you transform your business in a cloud-first, mobile-first world. The first ambition is we're reinventing business process and productivity. And we're doing this to make it built for teams to collaborate, to deliver personal and organizational insights, and to enable delightful business processes that reflect how people want and need to work. And doing that all in and available across all devices in a secure way. The second key ambition for the company is we're building the intelligent cloud. This is the cloud platform that enables you to run any or all of your infrastructure with unparalleled support for hybrid. And because on top of this, the cloud platform has embedded intelligence, you can get new insights and capabilities that just simply weren't possible before the cloud. And we are creating more personal computing. And this is about providing everybody with a natural, flowing, personalized, and secure experience from the phone to the PC, to HoloLens, and even to the gigantic Surface Hub. For this specific event and keynote, we're going to focus specifically on building the intelligent cloud and how Microsoft can help your IT department and your development teams take advantage of the cloud. So let's move forward. Connecting the back, but there it goes. The first thing I want to talk to from a cloud transformation perspective, is cloud transformation. So we're going to focus less at the beginning on, you know, what Microsoft's going to do for you from a cloud perspective, and more about what the cloud can do for you. And we know you're here, we know you're interested in cloud, but we want to make sure you understand the business benefits. So the first of those is efficiency. And the cloud is all about efficiency because it enables fast time to value. And fast time to value is often achieved with SaaS applications. SaaS applications you can get running very, very fast, and they're often the first place that customers invest in as they move to the cloud. The second key aspect of cloud is paying for what you need. The cloud enables you to save money because you pay for what you need. For example, with Azure, you can scale up to petabytes of data, really big compute, or you can scale down to the smallest scenario, and you only pay for what you need. There's no upfront commitment. It's simply a consumption-based model. This enables you to save money. The third aspect of it is hybrid. And over the last 18 months, the vast majority of customers using cloud have, in fact, been using hybrid, and that's completely okay. What is hybrid? Hybrid is when you take your on-premises data center and you connect it to the cloud. And even if you're just using hybrid, you can take advantage of cloud benefits such as agility and cost savings. And because Microsoft has a rich set of technologies both for on-premises and in the cloud, we can make it very efficient for you to deploy hybrid computing. For example, with our Stretch database capability, you can take a database that was on-premises and make it grow very easily into the cloud. Or, with our management experience, you can manage in a single pane of glass across both on-premises assets and through to the cloud. Okay, so let's move the slide forward, please. I'm having some clicker challenges, so we'll get the guys at the back to help us out on that one. When we're talking about the journey to the cloud, is something that is unique for everybody. Frankly, the cloud is a huge change. It's a change for you, and it's a change for us. And your journey to the cloud is going to be very unique based on your own business environment pressures. Where you're going from a cost, revenue, competitive perspective will all play into where you start on your journey to the cloud. But the critical thing is that, in fact, you have a plan to move forward in a journey for the cloud. And when people create that plan, it's often segmented in these three ways. The first is SaaS solutions. As I mentioned, SaaS solutions enable very fast time to value and can be implemented very quickly. You know, you can be just up and running with SaaS solutions. and many customers start here with SaaS solutions. The second key area is cloud infrastructure. And cloud infrastructure enables you to get agility and cost savings as a key benefit. And then the third area is higher level services. And these higher level services enable you to do things that were just not possible before cloud. Some examples of those are web and mobile applications that are available to global audiences at massive scale. You know, they need a big back end to store all that information. Or getting insights from big data and sharing that insight in new business models or unlocking new business models with the insight that you create. And then the third key area here is the Internet of Things scenarios, where you have a massive devices all around the world and you need a massive set of computing backend that the cloud provides. So these are amazing scenarios that are really only possible with the cloud. It's the combination of those three areas that really enables you to do business transformation. So with that, if we move forward again, there are a bunch of customers that are using the Microsoft Cloud. The logos on this slide are just a few of many. And today I actually am honored to share with some local examples directly from the Netherlands. Three customers, Priva, the City of Zeist, and Lefestro. Let's start with Priva. Priva wanted to integrate its sales and marketing processes of all its worldwide offices. To do this, they chose to use Dynamics CRM, connected it with their AEX Nav and the SharePoint systems. And from a benefit perspective, they now have better leads generation, far better reporting, and great opportunity forecasting to set them up for worldwide expansion and growth. The City of Zeist was trying to create and did create a modern workplace initiative. Their vision was to provide their workers the ability to work from wherever they want, not just inside their offices. And so they went ahead and instituted a flexible approach to facilities. And the enabler for this was Office 365, where their employees could go ahead and use that software from any location, not just inside their office. The third example is a small company called Lefestro, who's doing great things to revolutionize the Dutch healthcare system. There's a couple of things I'll talk about today. The first is they took Azure and cloud services to help change how hospitals run their operations to improve efficiency and quality. And then more recently, they've been working on this really neat tool for doctors so that doctors can view their schedules from anywhere. And this is obviously a big change, and they're hoping that all 20,000 of the doctors inside the Netherlands take advantage of this new system so they can see their hospital agendas wherever they are. So there's three examples of local companies, and I am deeply honored to have with us today a global brand leader and a thought leader within that global brand leader. That is Shell and Johan Krebers, who is the IT CTO. So I would like to invite Johan on stage. Let's give him a hand. Welcome, okay. Sir.
Thank you.
So tell us about the business environment inside Shell and the opportunities that you saw for cloud.
There are many opportunities for cloud, because what cloud offers you is very much flexibility, agility, and early access to new capabilities. I can give a number of examples, for instance, our retail business, mm-hmm. where we went for a cloud-based solution. A small Californian company offers all the capabilities for the retail side out of the cloud, apart from your point of sale, which will become tablets, but the rest of the cable is all cloud-based. That means we only have to deploy that once into the cloud and then can deploy very fast to new retail stations, like we do at the moment in Poland and in Thailand. So, without cloud, that was not feasible, because you would have on-premise capabilities, which you really can't scale up as fast. The other one we have is around advanced analytics. Mm-hmm. We're collecting quite large amounts of data, for instance, in our predictive maintenance, in our production sites, like our refineries in the Netherlands over in Pernis, where we are then using, we load that again into the cloud and using predictive analytics to predict when components will fail. So we know or predict when a pump will fail, or compressor will fail, or another component will fail. So it's really, you could not afford these things in on-premise environment. The cost of storage would be far too high to even consider doing that. So the cloud gives you these capabilities. There's the TCO, but also the fast access to new capabilities, which on-premise you won't have.
That's great, and two great examples of agility and differentiation from the cloud. Let's talk about productivity. What's Shell doing from a productivity perspective with respect to the cloud?
Yeah, productivity is, in the case of Shell, because we have people in about 80 countries around the world, so most of our teams are spread in multiple locations around the world. So we spend most of our time in link calls almost. And what the cloud productivity offers you, the Office 365 environment, of course, that we have access for both from a Shell point of view, but also from a non-Shell point of view. Because most of our teams are mixed teams from Shell people, but also non-Shell people. If we build a new facility, like offshore Gulf of Mexico, we do that with maybe large numbers of partners. They all need access to the same data, to the same people. So we're using there the Office 365, SharePoint, OneDrive for Business, etc. environment to make it happen. Also our knowledge management. I mean, knowledge is really hard to catch and catch over the world. And of course, you don't have specialists in everything. You really have them at certain locations around the world. Mm-hmm. So we're using also that same environment for sharing detailed knowledge about certain capabilities. So why is cloud important? There's just the access for Shell and non-Shell people in an easy way to the shared environment and at a large scale, of course, because in our case, the amount of data we have to store, our storing, is huge, of course.
Absolutely, and that requirement of having people working within and outside of your organization collaborating together is a very important use case that cloud enables. Let's talk about infrastructure. What's Shell doing on the infrastructure side with cloud?
Yeah, so we started our cloud world in a way with infrastructure service already 4 to 5 years ago. And we started initially with development systems, but a couple of years ago we moved it to production. So we're using Microsoft Azure and AWS, our prime providers of infrastructure as a service. And since the 1st of Jan last year, it's no longer allowed to do on-premise. Everything we do now, every new application, if not SaaS, because SaaS is our first rule. If we can do things in SaaS, software as a service, then we go for that. If that is not possible, we do infrastructure as a service, and it's either with Microsoft Azure or with AWS, on-premise only by exception nowadays. So we really try to avoid any on-premise implementation of new capabilities.
Very good, very good. And then talk about from an innovation, and you've already given some examples here, but from an innovation or disruptive perspective, how's cloud been helpful to you?
Well, very helpful, especially our strategy is software as a service. And what is interesting, of course, with software as a service, you start dealing with a lot more different type of companies. And if you look at the whole IT market, it's changing tremendously, because with software as a service of a cloud, small companies can overnight come to the market with a new capability and offer that globally. So we as an enterprise can also overnight make use of that. So we also have to change, of course, the way we operate. We need to be far more outward looking, say, what happens, let's say, in the retail market. Like I gave the retail example, there was a small California company who started doing stuff in retail, which we spot and work them with to get into our environment. But so it is, be aware what happens in the external market. And what cloud offers you is the small companies, because it's important, the small companies, where the difference, where the new innovation is coming from, really can come to the market overnight, but you need to spot them and then integrate them into your environment. And what makes it easy, of course, with a software as a service type environment, if you have a certain algorithm and somebody invents a smarter one overnight, that tomorrow you can say, okay, I'm going to replace my original one by the new one. That cloud enables you, which in the past just was not feasible.
Got it. And even as a very big company, your ability to move very, very fast is accelerated with the cloud, as you say.
Yeah, because we are a big company. Often there's a disadvantage, you could say, from a speed point of view. But speed is of the essence nowadays. So you need to spot, because the company is the fastest will win in the end of the day nowadays. And companies who can spot new capabilities very early, can implement in their own environment or make it available to their users around the world very quickly, those are companies who will win. So speed is of the essence, and being able to early to spot capabilities, of course.
Perfect. And then for a very personal perspective for the people in the room, they're going to go back to their businesses and take their teams through transformation. And that transformation process has a lot of technology components you've talked to, but also has people components. Yeah. As you've, as an industry leader, taken Shell through that transition, can you talk a bit about the people side and how you would advise people to make that transition and you know what attributes you see of folks being helpful in the future here?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very interesting world for IT staff in enterprise, mm-hmm. of course, because if you go to a cloud-based environment, the role of IT is totally changing. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can think about, obvious, of course, is that operational IT will change because if you go to mm-hmm. a SaaS-based environment, you really need different type of people over there, but also people who are not in an operational environment. So IT staff have to work much more close with their business folks mm-hmm. to really, as I mentioned earlier, and be far more external aware. What happens in the external market, your industry? So if you are in the retail industry, if you are in the production industry, know what happens in the external market. What are the small companies doing out there? And spot it early. Now, together with your business IT folks, really implement that. The other aspect, of course, in all of this, is the whole move to a DevOps-based environment. Yeah? Uh-huh. Because as part of the implementation, you only want to do it in a very agile fashion, in an interactive mm-hmm. fashion. That also makes the life of an IT person much more interesting. Because in the past, you say, I'm a software developer, and that's what I do. Mm-hmm. In a DevOps world, you might be a software developer today, you might be a support person tomorrow, and the day after, you're a Scrum Master. Mm-hmm. All part of the same virtual team. So you're far more aware, end-to-end aware of what you're actually delivering. Your role has changed on a day-to-day basis. Because really, so people really like the move to DevOps environments because it makes the role far more interesting than it ever was ever in the past. But overall, what's important, you mentioned earlier, is you learn your content, be content aware, because you, as IT person, it's vitally aware now, vitally important now, that you really are aware of what happens in the external market and have content knowledge. Know how to integrate two SaaS solutions. Know about RESTful API. Know about these different things, because that gives you value in the world for now and in the future. And that really becomes important as from an integration point of view.
Wonderful, that's great. Yeah, I really appreciate you sharing some incredible insights there on how people can take that transformation to getting broader roles and deeper connections to the business. Well, thank you. I appreciate our time on stage.
Okay.
Great to have you.
Thank you.
Cheers. Amazing insight from an industry leader. Thank you, sir. Okay. So today we have greater than 80% of the Fortune 500 companies using the Microsoft Cloud. We have tens of thousands of partners integrating with the cloud. And Microsoft uniquely brings together the cloud apps, data, infrastructure, and developer platform and gives you the flexibility to adopt it as you wish. I'm going to dig first into one of these areas, and that is productivity and SaaS apps, including enterprise mobility. And so today we have the most widely deployed set of SaaS apps out there in the market, bar none. Whether it's Office 365, Dynamics, or Power BI, we have solutions that you can sign up for to help improve employee productivity, drive efficient business processes, and address BI challenges. Couple this with our enterprise mobility suite, and we can now empower IT to securely manage and deliver those capabilities. And what's more, we know you have a holistic approach, as Jan was saying, to SaaS applications. And as a result, with the Enterprise Mobility Suite, we can manage, obviously, Microsoft SaaS applications. You'll see a demo of that later. But we can also manage more than 2,500 non-Microsoft SaaS applications, because we know you take a holistic approach there, and you're looking for a management solution across all of them. And we do this in a way that doesn't compromise the end user experience, but also keeps your security in check. If I transition to the cloud and Azure, with Azure, Microsoft offers a comprehensive set of cloud infrastructure, data insight services, developer platform, management tools that together enable you to create differentiated experiences with greater agility than ever before. Only Microsoft has that depth and that breadth. If you think about Amazon with AWS, they do infrastructure, but they don't have a SaaS offering. Or if you think about Salesforce has a great CRM SaaS offering, but they don't have infrastructure or higher level services.
Combining all of the Microsoft capabilities, we deliver enable organizations to improve productivity, be more agile, lower their costs, and really differentiate their businesses in a way that just wasn't possible before, and it's all because of cloud. Now, we're releasing new innovations on the Microsoft Cloud literally every week, which, by the way, is a sad tangent. It's a real good reason to come here, because it's really, really hard to keep up is one of the challenges with the cloud, because we're releasing every week. One of the benefits of the cloud is when you think back to the interactions I'd have with folks like our gentleman from Shell down there, he'd come and ask for a feature, which we really wanted to implement in the past. And we'd say, yep, we're going to implement that feature. And 2 years later, we'd ship a server. And 2 years later, probably sooner for you, but for most customers, it'd be deployed. And in 4 years, the feature you asked for today would be available. Well, that's fine. But in a cloud world, we can do a much, much better job of taking customer feedback and from all of you and implementing that. And we are listening very, very hard to our customer feedback. And we are absolutely working hard to make Microsoft's cloud the cloud that is the cloud for you and your business. Now, for the remainder of our time together, we're going to cover off three short demos that are just a sampling of the cloud solutions that we think you'll love. We're going to focus on application development, data and analytics, and secure mobile productivity. Secure mobile productivity is up first. So let me just frame that for a minute. From a productivity perspective, it's being productive today requires you to work across multiple devices. That's no surprise. Work is, as we mentioned, done as a collaboration between people who are inside and outside of your organization. That's just the reality of the workplace today, and our technology must support this. The technology must enable mobile, collaborative experiences while also ensuring the security of business data. Experience and security used to be a trade-off. It does not have to be that way anymore. And now with machine learning, we can truly deliver personalized, relevance-based productivity experiences that just were not possible in an on-premises environment. In Office 365, we call this the Office Graph. Now, providing your employees the delightful experiences that they know in their personal lives at work is increasingly important, because otherwise, they'll just use the consumer services that they have at home, and that puts business information at risk. And with Office 365, employees always have the latest innovations they can enjoy, and this helps improve their productivity. And to really light this up and make this real, let me bring on stage Jeff Medford to give you a demo of secure mobile productivity. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, thank you very much, Scott. My experience is going to start on my desktop within Delve, and Scott mentioned the Office Graph. Delve is the visualization of that graph. So what you see are documents, assets, emails, really all different types of content that are being presented to me in a very slick interface with these cards. And now I can manage this, and this is all secure. It's only what I've been shown to view, whether it's SharePoint, whether it's OneDrive. And I can look here, and on the left-hand side, I have the ability to then sort and really flow through, whether it's a group, whether it's a person. I can click right into Tony and see all the things that Tony and I are working on together through Delve. I can see the sales volatility, whether it's a Word document, whether it's a workplace solution. And then I can add very quickly to a board, so I can save that later and share it out with another group. So I'll just add that to the Fabricam proposal. And I can now see that in my most recent. And all the things that I've tagged are then moving through there. So instead of me having to search for documents, to look through team sites, to kind of click through and maybe go to a network share, all this information through the Office Graph and through the signals that are being shared through me, I can quickly and easily go through there. So whether I'm working with documents or want to take a look at my personal analytics, I can do that very quickly. So this is my Delve Analytics, and this is for me personally. And what you'll see here is it's a little bit like a health tracker, but for my productivity. It's using signals of how many emails I'm sending, how many meetings I'm in. Am I in a meeting that I'm then doing a bunch of emails or side work? And I can see that I can actually set my goals. So today, the focus hours, the email, how long I'm spending an email, I can actually set my goal just like a tracker so that week by week, I can see my productivity come through. Going down from a network perspective, these are people that I'm constantly in contact with or losing touch. So it's, again, using that Office graph and the signals coming from Office 365 and showing me who I might need to contact next or who I'm working with fairly deeply. I can see from a management perspective the meetings I'm having, even down to how often do I reply, how quickly do I reply to my team. And getting into the meetings scenario, all of us are probably in a lot of meetings. We might do other work during those meetings. The Office graph and the signals that come through actually show me through my analytics that I'm in more than 16 hours of meetings, up from last week. That I have 5 out of 10 of those from a quality perspective that I was engaged and involved with. And I can then
work. We should fix that, Jeff.
Yeah, I know. I need to work a little harder. But I was prepping for my demo, so I needed a ton of focus time.
Oh, fair enough. Right?
Yeah, so I can actually go down and see my focus time when I'm working, when I'm not, if I'm putting in time after hours. And again, these are all examples of the Office graph working across all of the services of Office 365 and then showing me those details on a personal and productive level. So now that I want to be a little more productive, I'm actually going to go into Word and get some work done. So I'm opening Word, and this is Office 365, Word 2016. I can see here that my proposal that I'm working on recently today with my team, that's the most recently used list. It's across devices. It's across what I'm working on. And it's going to pull that document directly from online. And what you'll notice first is it shows that Kim was working on that document also. I've shared it. I'm working with a team. And then I can also see Word knows where I was working last. So I can quickly click in to the exact place I was the last time I was working on this document. And within that, I can actually see Kim as she works real time. Whether it's one person, 5 people, an entire team that's working, I can see as she goes, typing real time into the information that I'm doing. I can work on this document together with her, real time, all that activity is being stored and saved within the document. I can also quickly see her up top, go to her edit location, open up a chat with our new Skype integration, jump directly into an instant message from here. And I can see her working as we go. Sharing with Teams has never been easier. Simple one-click sharing. Whether it's a OneDrive you're saving to, whether it's a SharePoint team site, being able to work together quickly and easily, see exactly who's working on this, and actually then going through my activity feed, being able to see those versions directly within Word. So all of this is powered by the cloud. If I was just working from my documents on my computer, none of this would be possible. But because I've shared it in OneDrive, I've shared it in SharePoint, all of this comes together in Office, then becomes that central point for my team to work together. Now I'm going to actually switch to my mobile device. And Scott mentioned devices, and there's nothing we can do not on one device now. We have to go across. And what you'll see here is my iPhone with all of my Office applications on the iPhone. And then we talk about security. So I'm on my corporate laptop. I'm now moving to my device. Maybe this is my personal device, but as I go into Outlook, this is actually managed. The Enterprise Mobility Suite is managing this application on my personal device. And I'll just quickly put in my super secret PIN and go directly in here. And I can see my emails. This is corporate kind of owned within this application. But Outlook is Outlook, and it's really the best email experience across devices. I can quickly scroll through. I can triage, schedule other times to review this, set it into archive. But I'm just going to go into a couple scenarios from a security point of view. Robin on my team, she sent me an email about flights. Well, seems pretty straightforward. Sometimes our team is traveling together. And I can click into that site. And what's this doing is going through a managed application by my IT department, and it's trying to get to that location. But in the background, it's actually a bad link and it might send me to a virus. Advanced threat protection caught that that link had changed, caught that it wasn't safe for my environment, and immediately blocked me from going there, all through Office 365. And being able to look at links beforehand and either allow or not allow people to pass through. So going back to that email, I also wanted to show another security feature. How many times have we been on our phones, or our employees are on our phones, and we want to save some information or copy some information from later? Well, there's some merger details that we're working on with another organization. And I can pick this up, try to copy, and of course, it'll allow me to copy. It'll actually allow me to copy that entire sentence because I'm in a corporate managed app. But if I wanted to go to my notes, which is not corporate managed, which Enterprise Mobility Suite is not aware of, that's on my personal device, you can see that I can try to set a new note, try to paste, nothing came through. It actually blocked the paste. And this is just the standard notes app. So from my corporate environment, it blocked me from being able to paste, and you saw what that experience looked like. Even within Outlook, when I try to use another profile, maybe one of my personal profiles, which I'll bounce into, and then try to do a new note, you'll notice there that within Outlook that is aware of EMS, I simply can't even paste. It's stopping me from doing that. So the security measure across devices makes my corporate data safe, even if I'm an unknowing end user who didn't know that this was something my corporation didn't want me to do. It actually blocked me and made it very easy for me to work through that. So with that, delve across, seeing those experiences, real-time productivity through Office, and then that security and control moving across my mobile devices. Thank you very much, Scott.
Great demo. Yeah, thanks, Jeff. All right, let's talk about some local customers again. The city of Breda, it sits between two rivers, as you know, and much like Seattle, experiences high rainfall. As you would imagine, a comprehensive water management system is critical. Breda actually uses Azure to manage the water and to prevent flooding. How do they do this? They now analyze and visualize data collected by a massive number of sensors and pumps from all around the city. They can even predict when a pump is about to fail, all in real time. And they did this in partnership with Microsoft, and they can now both reduce maintenance costs and, of course, more importantly, have a better ability to prevent flooding. Second customer here is PostNL. PostNL actually began their journey to the cloud in 2012. They shifted from a very large on-premises environment to two data centers in the cloud. They chose the Microsoft Cloud solutions for cost savings and flexibility. And today, Azure and Office 365 help them successfully scale up or down to meet their business needs. And then there's Air Canada. But rather than me talking about their great story in terms of innovation and new, modern, and flexible experiences, let's hear it in their own words. Let's roll the video.
Because collaboration prior to technology meant sitting around in a lot of meetings. And now collaboration means sharing tools and easier ways of working together. Air Canada's aim is really to be a global champion, to connect people all over the world. We wanted to create an environment for our employees that was more like our vision of Air Canada, innovative and modern and creative. Before Office 365, one story could generate 20 to 30 emails. Now, everybody comes and makes their comments, and it's just saved a huge amount of time.
What we're seeing is this big collision of consumer technology, employees saying, hey, you know, this is my experience personally. How come I can't have that at the office?
I have to encourage innovation, but on the other hand, I still need to protect the security and safety of the airline. The connectivity, whether it's within airports, to and from aircraft, maintenance hangars, with our pilots, with our flight attendants, and with our knowledge workers, it has to be real time and it has to be mobile.
I'm seeing a big change in our culture. Teams around the world collaborate with each other. Office 365 allows everybody to talk to everybody.
When you look at the integration of OneDrive for Business, Skype for Business, Office, and SharePoint Online, it creates a very easy story for our employees.
Our planes fly all over the world 24/7, so we need that connectivity between our people and our airplanes to show them these new tools and to see their smile on their face, because their life's gonna change. That's the candy that I get every day.
SharePoint is a fantastic tool. It's unlimited what it can do. Every day we learn about something new that it can do.
I'm an airplane enthusiast. To interact with crews who operate the aircraft, while at the same time being able to be part of the evolution of the technology, the job that I have right now really allows me to touch things that I like the most.
And as we watch some of the newer stuff that Microsoft's launching, Delve, Office Video, and Sway, we're starting to see that the tool sets are all there. It's nice to be always on the cutting edge.
We connect Canada to the world, and in order to do that, we have to connect with our employees. And that's really what this technology has done for us, has allowed us to connect in both directions. You can speak to different people in different places in the world. They can be doing completely different things, and they all love working for Air Canada.
What a great story. All right, I promised three demos. Let's get to the second area. Let's talk about data and analytics. The Microsoft Cloud provides a rich set of data services, from BI to machine learning and even predictive analytics. And you may have heard of the latest innovations we have in this area. Frankly, it's overwhelming just to speak in a sentence. From cloud databases to data warehouses to IoT to Cortana and Intelligence Suite and machine learning, there's a massive amount of innovation going in the data space. One of those new offerings I just mentioned is the SQL Data Warehouse. And this is a data warehouse in the sky that is so easy to set up that anyone can do it in literally minutes. And you can elastically scale that data warehouse to store terabytes or petabytes or whatever the next number is up of data, and independently scale your compute to match whatever resources you need, or scale down if you need. And it makes it really easy to interactively query it, do reporting, even run machine learning on top of it. But rather than me talking about it, and also to demonstrate Power BI, why don't I invite Matt Usher up on stage? Welcome, Matt.
Thank you, Scott. We'll get switched over here, wake my machine up and log in, because we have a secure environment, so I'm going to log myself in. Today, you're collecting more data than ever before to get insight into your business. As Scott mentioned, there's all kinds of new ways that you're ingesting data that you never had before. You saw Jeff show you a device that's now potentially collecting telemetry data about what your employees are doing. And getting all of that data into insight in your business is really kind of the crucible of how you're going to move your business forward. There's three key ways that you're going to survive in this new world of data, and they're based on these three key aspects. One is scalable data stores, one is tools that allow you insight into that data, and the third is an agile approach to this ever-changing kind of data climate as things are introduced into your environment. As Scott mentioned, Microsoft introduced the Azure SQL Data Warehouse service. I'm personally responsible for it, and I can tell you a lot about it later over the course of the next 2 days. But what this service does is it introduces, for the first time in the cloud, a cloud-born data warehouse with dynamic scale, really giving you that capability to tailor a data warehouse service to your business. So instead of, like Scott mentioned, instead of us kind of talking about it, I'm actually going to show you what this looks like. So first, I'm going to pivot into the Azure portal. And you can see I've gone to Plus New, Data and Storage, pick SQL Data Warehouse. And I simply have to fill out a couple of key fields. I'm going to start by introducing the name of a database I want to create, My Cloud DW. And the second thing you'll notice is this slider bar. And really, this is the ability for you to slide right to give the system more power, or to simply slide left to reduce the power, based on your needs. And in the past, you provision your services based on, you know, forethought. How much server capacity I'm going to need in 3 years? What's it going to look like as my business grows? And instead, now in seconds, you can literally offer that power by sliding a slider to the right. It's that simple. I'm going to leave the default setting here for just a moment. And we can see there's some other options, some standard Azure things. I'm going to pick a sample data set so I can do a cool, fancy demo for you here on stage. I'm going to leave my default server. And I'm going to just introduce the username and password for this server so I can go ahead and insert that data. And if I click the create button here, in just a few minutes, you'll have a cloud data warehouse that now gives you that capability of really building out what would have taken you days, weeks, months, or years to do in your own environment. Now, instead of sitting and waiting for that to show up, I'm going to pivot over to another browser and use one that is pre-provisioned just for this demo. It's the same configuration of the database that you just saw me create. So it's the same set of scale, has that same data set put into it. Oops, and it slid over to the right a little bit. And I'll close a couple of things. And you can see it has some basic information about it. As we pivot into that second aspect of now I've collected all this data, how do I get insight out of it? It's really important that you can take this data, and if you run a select query and it puts us into Excel and it's 47 columns and all this data, it really doesn't give you any way to get insight in that data. By simply clicking this Open in Power BI button, a new browser window will open, and we'll start the process of provisioning Power BI. And what we've done is we've created a shortcut. Essentially, this allows you to go ahead and provision the service and connect it to the Power BI service. And you can see my server name and my database are pre-configured. And all I'm going to have to do is enter my password and sign in. And what Power BI is about to do is it's now going to go out and it's going to connect to that cloud data warehouse I just created. And it's going to go do some investigation about all the tables and views so I can get in some insight into that data very, very rapidly. And it takes just a moment. And as you can see, I now have a dashboard that I can go start to build some insight of that data that I just created. I'm going to pick this aggregate sales view, and I'm going to show you one of those traditional demos everybody loves to do with data warehouses. I'm going to say, what are my sales by time? How are we doing in the last quarter? Traditional kind of business KPI, we want to see, are we growing month over month? And what Power BI has done is it's gone out and queried that data warehouse, and it's built an interactive chart right here in front of you. Now, this is something you'd expect every cloud data warehouse to do. Pretty straightforward, but we've used that capable power of the compute that can scale on the backside to, in order to scale this, like Scott mentioned, from terabytes to petabytes of data, giving you the ability to do this very, very rapidly. But what if we have a customer loyalty program where our customers have given us some information about themselves? Maybe they've given us some geographic data or some, in this case, maybe they've given us some customer in data about, like, say, their income level. And so we're going to build another chart. And you can see I'm simply dragging things around on a Power BI dashboard. And now what I have is I have some customer insight about where we've sold data into a customer. Now, who in the audience thinks this chart is really useful? It's not, right? I can't get any insight of it. But with the power of Power BI, I can simply drag the customer income level to a different axis, and Power BI will go re-render that chart in a way that allows me to get insight out of it very quickly. Again, now I can see from a different perspective that I have a problem with a particular customer segment. Maybe that's something I need to go target on in my new advertising, a segment of customers and an income level that I'm having a problem selling products to. Lastly, what if those same customers also gave us some information about where they live? So let's go ahead and we'll drag in sales amount by postal code. I'll make this a little wider. Now, as Power BI is rendering this, it gives us a view, kind of a bar chart. Now, I'm a human. I have a hard time understanding what each of these postal codes are actually telling me. I can't assimilate that information. But using Power BI, I can simply turn this into a map. And in just a moment, Power BI will start to plot that based on all of the data it's collected from that data warehouse and show me on a map where I'm selling my project, regions by regions. So within just a couple minutes here on stage, we're able to create a scalable cloud data warehouse and start to integrate all these cool visualizations that I could share throughout my business with all of my partners and really give them that insight into this data collection and streams of data that are now being exhausted into the cloud. With that, thank you very much.
Very cool. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
All right, let's talk to some customers. And one of my favorite ones is Lotus Formula One. As you imagine, that team generates terabytes of data from their operations, of course, to the track. And in a game where seconds are even less than that, is, you know, the measure of business performance. The challenge is all of this data they have, how do they discover trends and efficiencies in that without data visualization? Well, they took advantage of Azure, Office 365, and actually Power BI that Matt just showed you to enable it so that every member of the team was able to visualize their data and pull insights from it. And once those are built, you don't need to go ask IT for help with custom views and reports. And this really enabled them to have some serious agility and efficiencies in pursuing their cloud goals and getting insight into their data in terms of transforming their business. A second example in this space is Ford. Ford is now adding IoT, Internet of Things, sensors into all of their vehicles that stream IoT data directly to Azure to enable them to optimize the car ownership experience for their customers. This is a really great cloud use case, and it's about differentiation and innovation. Just think of the possibilities. And last on this slide, I want to talk about, Heineken is what I want to talk about. You guys can figure that one out. They use the cloud to go ahead and do a global marketing campaign to reach 10.5 million customers, 10.5 million customers. They built an online digital website. It needed to manage 1 million simultaneous users and be accessible in 70 markets in 30 different languages. And to meet those requirements, they used Azure, and were moving from one data center to four. They actually had two data centers in the US that they used inside Azure's infrastructure, one in Europe and one in Asia, which provided a very low latency experience for the customers. It also provided geo-redundancy, and it helped them to reduce costs. So there's just three examples. And you'll actually see some of that scaling stuff in a minute when I get to the next section. And I used to say, my daughter's now 9, but I used to say my 4-year-old daughter can scale Azure websites. It's really that easy. In terms of application development, do we have any developers in the room? Come on, guys. I know you've been, yeah, you're awake. That's good. Just checking. Excellent. We need all you guys to scale up for the cloud for sure. And one of the key things about the Microsoft Cloud that is really unique is the set of services and tools that we deliver to enable developers to build great apps. And in a minute, we're going to show an app service demo, but before that, I'm going to riff a little bit on open because this is the time to do it. I want to be really clear with everybody that Azure and Microsoft in general is very, 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 very happy for you to run your open source workloads on our cloud. I'll give you examples. Linux. It's 20% and growing at a much higher clip of all of the existing virtual machines running on Azure today, which is a large number of cores, are running Linux. It's growing at a large clip because we signed some big vendors recently, such as Red Hat. So if you were waiting to have Red Hat support on Azure, we have that now. So Linux as a first-class workload and infrastructure as a service, absolutely a key goal for us. We're just trying to, from a business perspective, drive usage of our data center. We don't care whether it's Windows or Linux at some level. The second key area I talk about in open source is absolutely development from a language perspective. We know that you might like writing apps in Java. Great. We want to be first-class support of that. Or Node, or PHP, or Python, or Adrian, who's closer to the development community than me, also adds or Go for all those Go developers out there. But in seriousness, we're really, really investing hard to provide great open source experiences across the board. Now, we know there's a number of ASP.NET centered developers in the room. And with that being the case, what I want to do is invite up Adrian Hall to show you what that experience looks like with our app service. Hey, Adrian.
Hey, thanks, Scott. Switch the thing and wake up the machines. There we go. Wonderful. So what I'm going to show you today is how to generate a website, which is just a few clicks, deploy some website code to it, and then scale it up or scale it out as your demands need. So here I am in the Azure portal, which is the same portal that Matt showed you. And to generate a website, I'm just going to create new, and then web and mobile, and I'm going to select mobile app. I'll give it a name. Cloud Roadshow Demo, very original. I'm going to select a grouping. So I'm going to, I've got a resource group here that's pre-configured. And then I'm going to create an app service plan. And I'll just create a easy one.
Just while you're typing this, you're ultimately just selecting the hardware that this is going to run on.
Absolutely. App service plan is really a combination of what do you want to, how big a machine do you want to run it on, and how scalable that solution is, but also where you want to run it. Normally, you know, you have to, if you've got an on-premise site, you're limited to wherever that on-premise site is. Mm-hmm. With the cloud, if your customers happen to be in North America and you're in Europe, you can just throw a website up in North America. We're in Europe, so I'm going to select Europe, and I'm going to keep with the standard site. Just click that and then create, and that will go off and create the website. We'll take about 30 seconds to a minute to go up. So whilst that's happening, I'm going to switch over to Visual Studio, which is one of the great tools that we've got, and I'm going to generate a website. We've got great scaffolding for this, so I'm just going to go into the web. I'm going to select a ASP.NET web application, and pick somewhere else, like my desktop would be a good place, and just generate that. Now, if I wanted to, as a developer, I could just click this host in the cloud option, and it would actually generate me a website as part of this process. Mm-hmm. It's probably not a good way of doing it for production, but as a developer, I'd be able to just skip the whole, go to the portal and create the thing and just say, yeah, I want to run this in the cloud and I don't really care about the name because I'm developing it. And this will go off and create me a website. It will scaffold out all the MVC controllers and views, mm-hmm. give me the HTML, nice CSS, and allow me to start really working on it. Wonderful slow machines. There we are. So now I'm not going to do any work on this. I'm just going to go straight to the publication process. And to do that, I'm just going to click on just right click on the project and click on publish. Mm-hmm. Go straight to the Microsoft Azure. I need to enter my credentials.
So Visual Studio is deeply integrated here with Azure. It's going to publish directly from Visual Studio straight to Azure.
And hopefully that will do it. And then you'll see my listing of sites come up here. And there's the Azure Hague Roadshow. And there is the actual site that I actually created. So now I can just click on publish. And that's my site in the cloud now.
That's awesome.
So I did promise you I would show you how to scale. Mm-hmm. And scaling is so simple, your four-year-old daughter could do it.
It's actually kind of scary.
I'm going to go to one of my existing sites. And when you go into one of these sites, you go to the settings, and there's a piece right here. You can scale up, mm-hmm. which is taking your existing VM that you're running your site on mm-hmm. and giving it more cores, more memory, more whatever you need to do.
Yeah, but I like scaling out. It's
you
much
like
more fun.
Scaling out, yeah. I am going, like, let's just say you're running that marketing campaign, Heineken.
Totally right. And
you go, well, when I'm developing, I only need one machine. Mm-hmm. But then I'm scaling to 10.5 million users. Mm-hmm. I might need 10, 20. I might need geo-redundancy, things like that.
Exactly.
So I'm going to scale out. Now, if I know, we've got Black Friday in the US, mm-hmm. which is always a good time. If I know how many instances I want, I can just drag this slider. So I've got running one instance now. Let me just go and run six instances.
Hmm. No machines to set up, no network cabling, just slider?
Yeah, just a slider.
Okay.
Within a couple of minutes, mm-hmm. those machines will be provisioned for me.
Okay.
I could also do it with, you know, I'm an IT guy by trade. Mm-hmm. I don't like waking up in the middle of the night. You know, it's like I live in the US. When Europe comes online, I don't want to get the phone call from the European guy going like, mm-hmm. that marketing campaign was awesome. We need more machines. Mm-hmm. So what I can do is I can scale by something else. Let's say CPU percentage. And I can say, I want between 1 and 10 instances. And I want to make sure that the sites are always running between 65. And let me email people. The email administrators to actually get that. And I can click on save, and that is now between 1 and 10 machines. Mm-hmm. It will never go over 10 machines. And when the machines start getting busy, it will automatically spin up a new one.
Very cool.
And when the machines stop being busy, it will turn them off again. So that's without even doing anything, without being woken up, you can control your costs to be most effective.
That's very efficient. Great. Thanks, Adrian.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Cheers. And today we have more than 350,000 developers using our Azure App Service. And our application development story actually extends significantly beyond App Service as well, in terms of building cloud and mobile applications using a broad portfolio of services. If I just look at a few examples of that, the first one is NGSN, or the Next Generation Sports Network. This is a pretty incredible story. You guys like soccer, right? I'm a rugby guy myself, coming from New Zealand, but that's okay. They wanted to take international soccer matches and make them available on demand to a live global base. This required a wide array of solutions to do this, obviously a bunch of video in this as well. In partnership with Microsoft Services, NGSN was able to build a global broadcasting network in 6 months. Just a tiny fraction of the time it would have taken them to do an on-premises implementation. Alaska Airlines is another great example of a company that has differentiation at the core of their cloud strategy. They started by building an employee-facing portal, more like a mobile and web experience, that then enabled them to integrate with existing data and applications. And then they went beyond that with Visual Studio Azure and Windows. They reinvented the in-flight experience, providing tablets to their customers, running entertainment apps such as Xbox, games, movies, but including movies that were still in the theater, shows and magazines. Flight attendants say that customers love the devices, and they plan to expand the program to meet the growing demand and Alaska's route growth. And last, a really inspiring story from the United Nations Development Program. Now, their cloud journey isn't about differentiation at all. It's about helping people and helping them as quickly as possible. They're using multiple Microsoft technologies to power mobile apps that serve as the administrative backbone in helping rebuild in Nepal. This is a really great story. Let's take a look.
The future can offer hope and possibility. We help shape it with our character and build it with our dreams. But the future can also present us obstacles that test our will and determination. This is how we find the power within us.
The frantic search for survivors goes on round the clock, following Nepal's biggest earthquake in 80 years.
Disaster relief is always overwhelming. There's too much to do, too many people that need help, and never enough time or resources. The United Nations Development Program is a global network of knowledge, experience, and resources. We're a group focused on building sustainable communities and empowering people. And now, partnering with Microsoft, our frontline responders in Nepal are testing a new approach, using the Microsoft Cloud to store and process data, helping obtain the insights we need to help our programs have the greatest impact. With over 600,000 buildings destroyed in the quake, the Debris Management Program was established to bring fast-acting relief and recovery to support the hardest-hit areas. In 4 short months, we've equipped local engineers with mobile devices and a custom application to expedite damage assessments, prepare for safe demolition, and track our efficiency. Completing over 3,200 assessments and 2,000 safe demolition projects, paving the way for reconstruction. This application will also become essential to our emergency employment efforts. And combined with QR card distribution, we'll be able to provide critical daily cash payments to thousands of workers helping to clear debris, putting money back into communities that need it the most. Additionally, a joint poverty alleviation initiative between the UNDP and the government of Nepal is using the cloud to collaborate with other partner organizations, providing support to over 13,000 micro enterprises, helping them get their businesses back on their feet. Disasters create unique opportunities for innovation. Our partnerships and our work here in Nepal are strengthening the UNDP's current operation, while allowing us to develop new cloud programs that will revolutionize the way relief organizations operate in the future.
The Nepali people have shown dedication, tenacity, and resolve.
And with our continued support, they will be empowered to build a better future.
Well, very important work, and it's always humbling to remember the impact that technology has in a very real way in helping the people in Nepal. This morning, we've spent time on the journey of the cloud. We've been delighted to have Jan Krebers from Shell, thank you again, sir, up on stage to talk to us about Shell's journey. We've shared the journey of many customers. One of the things I just want to close with is, you know, many folks, particularly IT folks, frankly, come to me and say, you know, am I going to be less valuable or more valuable when we move to the cloud? You are absolutely going to be more valuable. We've actually done research with customers who have moved to the cloud. And for your IT folks, what we find is a little bit what he said. You spend less time on patching. You spend less time answering the pager at 2 o'clock in the morning and get more sleep. And you spend more time on delivering great business value. Each of you, as you go through the course of the day, please map out your journey to the cloud. We've got a great set of resources and folks such as Matt directly from Redmond who can answer any deep technical question you want across, I think, nearly 80 sessions. So please enjoy the day, and we're all really excited to see what you will build with the Microsoft Cloud. Thank you.
Het grootste tech-evenement van Nederland. Op 4 en 5 oktober in de RAI Amsterdam. Als bezoeker van de Cloud Roadshow ontvang je een kortingscode ter waarde van €50. Kom naar Tech Days 2016. Haal je kortingscode bij de Tech Days stand.